Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I was on the phone with a good friend of mine, and I was in the backyard, and I was talking to him, and I saw a snake, and I said, "Oh, there's a snake," and he said, "Oh, what kind is it?" And I was walking to my garage to get my shovel, and he said, "Well, tell me what it looks like, and what kind is it?" I'm like I know what, I just know that it's a snake. And he said, "Well, because some of them are good snakes," and I'm carrying that shovel back around to the backyard, and I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, because they make things healthy, and then some of them are bad, and some of them are good." And then he heard. And he said, "What'd you just do?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a good snake or a bad snake." And I turned a shovel of dirt over, and I put it in the dirt. And he said, "What is that?" I said, "Well, it's a little hole I'm digging." And he said, "You didn't kill that snake, did you?" I said, "Yeah, I killed that snake." He said, "Well, why'd you kill it?" I said, "Because it's a snake." And so if that offends anybody in here, we've already got your money. So have at. I'm Bill Shear. I'm the pastor of Guts Church. And just honored to be here today. Just, I've got something special for you. Just because God's laid something on my heart. So when we do it, I'm going to ready, fire, aim. And we're going to get after it. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about your story. I've been talking about it. I talked about it Easter a little bit. You know, that God has given us, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Do you guys believe that? He's the beginning and the end, okay? So you're in a place right now between the beginning and the end, all right? And so he's all the above. Right? You can write that in your notes, that Jesus is all the above, okay? So when we look at our lives and we look at how things are going, that the Bible even goes a step further or a step deeper than him being the beginning and the end. It says that he's the author and the finisher of our trust. Okay, the author and the finisher of our faith. And in doing this, I realized that, wait a second, because I personally, this faith walk that I live, it only works, it's only good, it's only righteous if I feel vulnerable. If that makes any sense. You know, when Pastor Sandy and I, Sandy, you mind standing and saying hi to everybody, waving to everybody? Everybody's going to clap their head off. Everybody's going to... Little better. She was asking me after the last week, she said, "Why don't people applaud more when I get up?" And I said, "Sandy, I don't know. Maybe you just need to, maybe you need to be in the lobby shaking more hands or something. I don't know what that could be. Maybe you need to get up and tell a snake story now." But when we started the church, we had nothing to lose. And it was just easy. I could just, it's like, what are you going to do? I'm going to believe God. What are you going to do? We're jumping off this cliff and people are going to come to Jesus. And that's how it felt. And then you land and you're like, my gosh, it didn't kill me. So you're running back up to the top of the cliff and you're to jump off again. But then, man, things happen and people start coming and people expect it to be reasonable. See, because most Christians are looking for life to be reasonable. And see, just to make it clear that reasonable becomes comfortable and convenient. That's the reasonable life we're looking for, okay? So if your life tonight is reasonable, if your life tonight's comfortable and it's convenient, I might step in the middle of it tonight, okay? I might get in your kitchen. That might be what this is, because Galatians 3:13, if you could turn there quickly in your Bible. And before we go any further, I want to let the men know that this Friday morning at 6:30, we're going to be in the North Sanctuary, and we're going to do something that's going to be life-changing, and you're going to go, and when I tell you what we're going to do, you're going to go, really? That's going to be life-changing? Yes, it is. We're going to read through the book of Ephesians from start to finish together. We're going to just read the book of Ephesians. Because the word's alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So Friday morning at 6:30, that I know you go to work at 7:30 or 8 or 9 or whatever it is. So we're going to be in there for 25 or 30 minutes. We're just going to read through the book of Ephesians. I found out we're going to have coffee. You're going to have coffee there. We're not going to have any food, okay? It's not going to be cupcakes for you and no donuts. So bring your own. Bring your own donuts and whatever else you need. But we'll have a little bit of coffee for you or something. And we're just going to read through the book of Ephesians. And if there's a girl here that's attached to a guy in life, you need to have him here Friday morning. We need to get guys in the Word. And I'll be real honest with you. I meet with a group of guys. We do it once a week, and when we're in town, we get together. And one week, I just said, just start reading in Ephesians. And Curtis Hunsinger started reading, and he goes, you want me to keep going? I said, yeah. And in 20 minutes, he read through the book of Ephesians. And I'm telling you what it did. It hydrated my life. I'm in the Word a lot, aren't I, Sandy? I mean, tens of thousands of hours I've been in the Word. And I'm telling you, that morning, he just read through the book of Ephesians, and I was like, I feel fresh. I'm ready to go. And that's what we're going to do Friday morning, okay? So just be here. Get over your flesh. Don't be saying, why do we have to do it? That's too early in the morning. Or that's no, you're men. You deal with it, okay? The second thing is April the 30th. Mark your calendar. Everybody in here. And I guess the girls can do it too. Dana's not here, so I'll defend Dana. That we're going to have a golf tournament, all right? All the proceeds are going to go to feeding people. We love to feed people at this church. How many of you guys love people getting fed? How many of you guys love to eat? How many of you guys love? Okay, well, what we don't want to do is we don't want to have bags that you don't. See, the goal of Friday Groceries, have you guys heard of Friday Groceries? The goal of Friday Groceries is to give people a good word, pray with them, get them to come to Jesus, and then give them a bag of groceries that you've got to put your hand under at the bottom of the bag when you take it out to their car. Man, if we're just taking it and slinging it in there, no, we want to have to put our hand. We want to triple bag it. That there's so much food. In order to do that, so what we're going to do is we're gonna have a golf tournament, and it's going to be a fundraiser toward that. So if you want to sponsor a hole, you want to play in it, or whatever you want to do, there's information. You can get to it. I think it's on the online. You can even register online and get it done. It's going to be at Cedar Ridge Country Club, and they're really excited about hosting it, okay? So you got to wear a collared shirt. You got to wear some pants other than jeans and gym shorts. You can go by Jeremy's house, and he's got a whole closet full of golf attire for you. But those two things I wanted to mention. Okay, now let's get in the Word. Okay, Galatians, God, thank you for your Word. Everybody say, God, thank you for your Word.
Thank you for your Word.
Try it again.
God, thank you for your Word.
Say, God, I'm excited about your Word.
God, I'm excited about your Word.
Okay, prepare your face for what you're about to say, and tell God you're excited about His Word. Go.
God's excited about His Word.
Okay, we'll just keep working on that, okay? So Galatians 3:13, okay, ready? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How many of you guys know what redeemed is? How many of you guys are wondering what redeemed really means, okay? What that means is He paid the price. Man, he paid the cash for you to have the life. Okay, and the currency was His life. That's why we trust Him. So what He did, it's a life for life exchange, but here's what He did, is He redeemed us from the curse of the law. In Galatians, the fourth chapter, I'm skipping in my notes to the third set of scriptures, then I'll go back to the second. Okay? So in Galatians, the fourth chapter, it says to redeem those who were under the law. This is huge. That we might receive the adoption as sons, that God has redeemed us, okay? So let me tell you what this redemption is. What this redemption is he's taken the book of your life and he's torn out all the pages and he's put in fresh new pages for you to write a whole new story for your life. That's what the redemption's done for us. See, what the law did is the law caused us to live our life like this. We're all cramped and we can't even dream. And man, it never happens for me. How many of you guys ever think about that? Man, it never happens for me. Man, yeah, I've never won anything, or I've never been chosen for anything, or I got cut from every team. But here's what God does now, is He tears those pages out and He gives you a fresh new book for life. Now you get to write your own story. And that's what we're talking about tonight. That's what we're going to talk about every Wednesday night in April. And we're going to lay it out for you. Okay? So 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul writes and says, "For He made Him who knew no sin," that was Jesus, "to be sin for us." Now listen, He just didn't bear our sins, He became our sins. It wasn't just like he put on this coat that was heavy, that was sin. No, He became sin. So think about this. How do you feel after you've sinned? Bad, right? Would anybody, does that sum it up for you? How many guys, let me see your hands. If you feel bad when you've sinned, after you've sinned, can I see your hands? Okay, good. It's most of you. Okay, you should have your hand up the entire service, Travis. Okay, but he made himself, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now let's stop right here. We can't do anything to be righteous, but make Jesus the Lord of our lives. And by making Jesus the Lord of our lives, we allow him to rewrite our story. He becomes the author and the finisher. We live by faith. We live by trust. That's what pleases God. So now, me living by that faith is that now he's the author and the finisher. The author and the finisher. No, this is incredible news. Because he's going to be the finisher of our faith. See, and I look at the promise of God. I love the promise of God, don't you? And the promise of God here, and in your Bibles, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And if you can, if you're on your iPhone, hopefully you know how to, that when you get on the Bible on your phone or something, that you know how to highlight something. Okay, if you don't, bring a book and a pen so that you can highlight your Bible. But if you have a phone, at least figure out how to take notes and highlight it if you're going to use that as your Bible. Is that fair, Scott? Okay. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Everybody say, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord.
Say it again. Now say, in all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let me just tell you, if we just sat here and we meditated upon that, and we let people talk, if I let Sadie say, Sadie, when you bless the Lord and all that is in you, man, what is producing your life? And we talk about the production of our life then and the fruit of our life, it would be amazing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. See, what's interesting is that Psalmist didn't say, forget not his benefits. It's not casual. He said, forget not all of his benefits. And let me tell you, he starts listing that now. Who forgives all your iniquities. Wait, some of us, it's some bad stuff. It really was. My iniquities were so bad when I had revelation that Jesus was Lord and that this Jesus stuff was real. And before I gave my life to the Lord, it was hard. I had to pause. I actually had to slam on the brakes of my life because I thought, what the heck? Everybody say, what the heck?
What the heck?
That's what I said. I said, what the heck? I can't do this because I realized somehow when Jesus made himself real to me, I knew that I couldn't bring the baggage of my life through the cross. I knew it. I don't know how that works. How does that work? Trev, how does that work? That how did I know that I had to strip my life down to nothing? And I've told this story before. It's my friends and my acquaintances and my habits and my vices none of it could go through the cross. All my victories, all my failures, all my self-righteousness, all my pride, none of it could go through the cross. Who forgives all your iniquities and listen and heals all your diseases. Oh my gosh. So he forgives and he heals. Circle those words. See, when I read the word and when I study the word, and what's going to happen Friday morning for the men, and you know, you girls can do it, you just can't do it here. You can read through the book of Ephesians, have at, okay? But you just can't do it here, I'm sorry. But words jump off the page at me. You know, it was interesting because I talked to a couple of pastors and they said, hey, what is this I saw? They saw it somewhere in social media or something. I said, you're going to read through the book of Ephesians? They said, yeah. I said, are you going to do it? I said, no. I said, somebody else is going to do it. They said, good, because there's no way you could get through it in the morning. Because you got to stop because those words jump off the page. Isn't that right, Jeff? Those words jump off the page that God forgives all our iniquities. He heals all the, man, that word heal comes and man, it leaves a mark, man. Guys are going to leave there with like a black eye because God heals all of our diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Man, I'm going to pause right there and I'm going to ask Josh and Bubba to come up to the stage. Josh and Bubba. When they bring something out, you sit on it. No, you get up there where people can see you. There's, oh, There's some dude. Who's that chick you're with right there? That's bad. Who redeems your life from destruction. Now, look at these two guys right here. Now, Barb, I know they look prim and proper right now, but let me tell you, these guys deserved destruction, okay? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfied. Now, this is the huge one, and this is where, now we're going to, this is going to transition us to a new part of the service. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies your mouth with good things. What is that? He satisfies your mouth with good things. Listen, it's not griping and complaining and murmuring and gossip and tail-bearing and dog cussing and all that stuff. It's not sexual talk, none of that stuff now. What does he do? He satisfies our mouth. So now he changes our story. And what I've asked these guys, and I think I ask you today, right? Because I didn't want them to be prepared. I don't want them to think, well, what am I going to say? I want it to be raw. How many of you guys want raw tonight? Huh? Man, you guys on the internet, man, you guys watching from New Jersey, from Haddonfield, raise your hands if you want raw. We're going to get raw tonight. Man, what has God done in your life? Tell me your story. I did it at the staff meeting yesterday. I handed the mic to Faith, not the Haitian, okay? So stand up. No, for years, I'd introduce her as Faith the Haitian, and she would just do this. Yeah, and I'd go, okay, cool. And I'm like, Faith the Haitian. And finally, like a month ago, she goes, I'm from Africa. I'm like, okay, so sit down. And I said, why didn't you correct me? She goes, no, that would be dishonoring you. I was afraid to dishonor you. I'm like, okay, I'm from Warrington. We'll get over it, okay? But she told her story. Oh, my gosh, it was riveting. It's like the staff was like, man, half of them are crying, because I'm planning. I want to hear people's story. I want you somehow to take your phone and do one of those self videos, those things where you go like this with your thumb and you point that phone at you and you just tell your story. Let somebody know your story. What's God done for you? Otherwise, we're just cheesy Christians coming and going, hey, you want to go to church? No, they don't want to go to church. They would be at church if they wanted to go to church. But let me tell you, your story is going to change people's lives. Man, I remember, and then I'm going to turn these guys loose. I remember when we did a retreat for the University of Tulsa football program. 110 players and 30 coaches and staff people. We did it down at our camp. We served them steaks. We spent the night. We did all this stuff. Well, that night, they asked me to tell my story. I remember walking up to that little pavilion. It was packed with guys. And I'm like, and I think I ran into Chano and Chris Hart, maybe Taylor, some other guys. Jeremy was probably there. Do you remember that? And we're on the steps going up there. And I said, I can't tell my story. At that time, I'm like 55 years old or 53 years old or something. I'm like, this happened 35 years ago. These guys are 18 and 20. I can't tell my story. It's not going to work. And these guys are going, no, and finally one of them, I think it was Chano and Jeremy that stopped me and said, no, you got to tell your story. I get up and tell my story, and it's like 1970s vernacular and 1970s issues and 1970s hitmen and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. And then 80 people got saved. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this story, it's powerful because it's timeless. So, Bubba, you got a story?
Yeah, I do.
His name is Bubba.
Yeah, I guess I should start with my name's Bubba Fernandez, and I'm you can finish the rest.
Thought he was Spanish.
Yeah. I thought my family had told me I was Spanish forever. Finally,
his name's Fernandez.
Stepdad, I guess is what he is. Finally chased the genealogy and said, six generations back are still in Guadalajara. So
That's not Spanish.
That's not Spanish, no. This is hard, and Pastor Bill's right. We just found out about this. I told him raw gets me in trouble. I said, can I please get some bullet points, something? He refused. So
PG Bubba, though.
Yeah. So, Taylor, Taylor said it, says it over and over again, you can't out-sin God's grace. And I'm somebody that has tried very hard through my life to do just that. And I don't deserve anything that I've been given. Let's see, let's start with I was an idiot. I was a good kid till I was 13 years old. Didn't do anything bad, hung out with everybody I was supposed to. I probably was a model child. And then around 13, 14 years old, I started hanging out with kids my parents told me not to, and started trying stuff that they told me not to. And I realized it, what they said on TV, what the teacher said, it didn't kill me, that I enjoyed it. And so I was downhill real fast for a long, long time. Met my wife. She's a lot better person than I am. We got married. I had a daughter. Our daughter changed my life drastically. And I slowly started guarding who I hung out with and who I did things with, where I spent my time. And then a couple years down the road, I started hanging back out with my old friends again. I'm Bubba. I'm going to church. I can do this. This is easy. And started down a path once again, doing everything wrong. Got to the point where doctors were prescribing medicines for Crohn's or my knee or my shoulder. And it got to a point where I justified, this is legal. Doctors are writing this. I can do this. And it got to a point where my entire body shut down. Did not use the restroom for 3 days either way. Still continuing. Asked a guy at church, said, hey, can you pray for me? I feel today I'm either going to lose my family or lose my life. And it all came to a head that day. It's a miraculous story. We don't have a ton of time. I won't get into all the details, but it changed my life right there. It was way too easy. God put all the right people in front of me. To this day, God, I was telling Carissa, I ran into a guy the other day at the bank who wasn't even friendly to me, to be honest with you. That guy impacted my life so big 15, 16 years ago. And I realized today he probably has no idea. No idea. And it's just God has over and over put the right people in my life at the right time, has opened doors, has closed doors. And it's life is not about who you are. It's who you're becoming. But over the last, for sure, 10 years here, I'm becoming a better person. And people like Scott Houston, the Houstons were a huge part. And this is really getting real and raw. Some of this stuff is since I've been at this church. They saved my life, my marriage, just constantly. There's tons of people in this room who you have no idea. A smile, a greeting, how you doing? Mark Jackson, let's do lunch. I don't know. What else?
Well, what I love about Bubba too, and the Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3 that the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. So it's always been in his life. I mean, I'm sure if we followed him around in his business, it's just God's grace is on his life where he can have incredible success. But there's also the tempter, there's also the deceiver. And tell the story about what the report you give me when you guys greet in the north lobby. And he came to me one time and said, man, I love greeting in the north lobby. And I'm thinking, okay, 95% of the people come in other entrances, 5% of the people probably come in the north entrance.
So what we've noticed is most people think the north entrance is the entrance of the church, new people to the church. And so for years now, that's where we want to be. It's amazing to see those people come in. You could kind of tell, do we turn right? Do we turn left? It's their first time. We get them with somebody. We give them a tour. And man, it's sometimes there'll be 75% of the people up here giving their life to the Lord came through that door. And they're first time visitors and we see it and you can tell by when they walk in the door if they've been
here
or not.
That's awesome.
And he's right. My life is a blessing. I do not deserve the things I have, the children I have, the now son-in-law I have, the life I have. I have been blessed more than any man deserves, for sure. And it's shocking even to me. I struggle with feeling worthy, yet I do know where it comes from.
That's awesome. Well, Josh Turpin, one of the best men I know.
I was kind of bummed out that he started at 13 or 14 because I was going to skip a whole lot of years. I was going to go to the pictures up there and say, you know, skip right to there and say that's where good things started happening. But prior to that, 13, 14, probably 8th, 9th grade, very similar story. Started running around with wrong people. First time I smoked pot was on a pop can under a cedar tree in a guy's that I went to school with, his front yard. And that's kind of where many years of just very selfish behavior, and at the time I thought just a really good time, which it was at the time. But it was a lot of years of me just being very selfish. I had great parents. My parents are awesome. Mom and Dad worked so hard to cover us, and I used to always say, hey, I'm just living. It's just me. I'm not hurting anybody else. I'm doing this. I mean, I popped pills like Tic Tacs. I mean, I lived very reckless for a lot of years, and at the time just thought, this is great. So I joined the military, actually, and that was the picture. I was young, but that really was the beginning of changing my life. I joined the military, ended up down at Fort Hood, met a guy. His name was Dennis Parnell, and he was a Christian comedian. And I just went to the first church I could find off of the base because I was like, I got to do something. This isn't, you know, I can't keep going the way I'm going. So I did. Christian comedian made me go to church, would invite me to Thanksgiving and Christmas at his house. I think one of the first Bible verses I memorized, he made me memorize it. And it was, for what I treasure in my heart, I won't sin against thee. And Sunday was restart, I think was the name, or start again was
start
the name.
Again.
I probably had 25, 30, 40, 50 restarts a year for like 6 years. But that Bible verse, I always would remember that, and I would restart, and I would restart. And so, man, just getting around the right people and getting God's word in me, that was the beginning of a lot of change for me. Got out of the military, moved back home, started going to school, and then met my wife, who is also my much better half, but ran into her, and she actually invited me here, and this was the beginning of huge change in my life. I would just show up, I would come here, I would get God's word in me, people would shake my hand. Scott Houston's another guy, you'd mention him, but for years, I mean, he didn't know me from a hole in the wall, and he would, man, just meet me and have coffee with me and coach me, and then, again, there's 50 other guys in here now that continually give me time and coach me. So that was just the beginning of the most amazing life I could imagine. But I actually just really wanted to hit on something fast forward. We left Guts for 3 years, something like that. We God put on our heart to go to Louisiana. We did. We helped plant a church. It was awesome. Came back to Tulsa. I got to hang out with Pastor Bill every day for a long time, just being around the church for a while. Did that, and then after I moved to another position, I had kind of stepped away from the church a little bit, and it was me, but I'd kind of stepped away from the church a little bit, and about probably a year and a half ago, man, God got a hold of me and just... I'd gotten very apathetic in my relationship with God, and we went from, you know, helping plant a church to, before we left, you know, Pastor gave me the opportunity just to coach the interns and be around them, be very plugged in here. And so I went from that to planting a church to hanging around the church on staff for a while, and I just got apathetic, and stuff crept back into my life. And this is, you know, raw, about a year and a half ago, and I was teetering on just a very gray line, and I'm a hair rebellious anyways. I think Pastor even called me rebellious once. I don't know. But man, God just checked me, and I was talking with the interns this morning about wake-up calls, and about 8 months ago, I was sitting in service, and I was like, God, things are just rough. I'm not good. I'm not in a good place. And God just kind of checked me, you're selfish. And I was like, well, I was wanting a hug. Or like, I'll take that. And so So I just began, I told my wife, and I'm selfish. I want what I want. I like doing things the way I like to do them. I don't either, you know, lead me or get out of my way and let me do it. That's just kind of who I was. So I really began intentionally just to really dive back into getting right with God, and I mean, just meditating on his word day and night and just letting it resonate and get me healthy again. And so probably 3 months after that, I was driving from, I thought it was morning prayer or something here, and God put on my heart, he's like, you're rebellious, and it's going to get you in trouble. And I was like, geez. I was like, let up. But as I began to pray about it, that rebellion, God's like, hey, that's a good thing, because, you know, you can use that for me.
Right.
But my point is that even up to, you know, there's wake-up calls, and I mean, God got my attention at 18 or 19, and he never gave up on me. And I got here, and this place, literally, this church, gave me the foundation to connect with God and have a relationship, and that has changed my life over the years. And here I am again, kind of almost at a restart in my life, and I'm just thanking God that I had the, you know, the attention to hear him and grab that and actually change. I don't know. There may be people in here that hadn't been to church in years. I don't know. But if you're here, thank God that you're here and listen. Because, I mean, Wednesday nights weren't a big deal for a long time, and Sundays weren't a huge deal for a while, and they are a huge deal. It gets you around the right people. And Pastor says all the time, you're probably not going to sin when you're in here. There's a good chance you're not. That's kind of my story. I'm very thankful for the relationships, the friendships, and just for God's grace and mercy. I'm humbled that I get to live the life I live, even after, you know, recently kind of backsliding, if you will. So that's kind of the...
Well, and probably for, honestly, that's where most churched Christian men are. You know, where it's, oh, it's not that big a deal. Oh, yeah, I can skip, or I could do. And I'll tell you, for me, and there's hundreds of people in here that if you're not here, we notice. Sandy and I talk about it. You know, just this past week, the place is packed with people because it's Easter. And I'm like, hey, did you see so-and-so, or did you see? And I'd ask Sean on. He said, oh, yeah, they were outside working the whatever in the parking lot or whatever. But honestly, we notice. And to me, it's like, why? Because really, honestly, I guess we're going raw. If somebody doesn't give, I don't change the restaurants I go to or the house I live in or the vehicle I drive or it doesn't change anything. Because see, it's for you. It comes back on your account. If a couple people leave, it's not that big a deal because a couple people will come in. But for us, for Sandy and for me, this isn't about interchangeable parts. It's not. It's about every part of the body of Christ that's here. It fits, and it's where God puts them. I know that God's put these guys in my life. And I know there'd be a void in my life. You know, I was talking to Bev before church tonight, Bev Hurley, and, you know, her husband Bob Sr. went to be with the Lord, and I'm like, how do you replace that piece in your life? How do you, as a pastor, not even as a wife or a son or a brother, which he's got family. I'm not, but Bob Hurley Sr. would make you feel like a Hurley. And how do you replace that? And you don't. And how do you replace guys like this in your life? You don't. And what Paul said and what these guys example tonight is that we're living letters. And the Bible says read of all men. And, you know, they'll tell you, I've got some chapters in my life that I don't want them out there. I don't want people reading them. And what God does is he redeems those chapters. That's the whole word that I gave to you tonight before I called these guys up, is the redeeming aspect of God is he makes the chapters that we live now for him the predominant chapters. I mean, they're the chapters that people are looking. You know, I mean, Sandy and I, we were just talking yesterday, we've got a great life. But you know what? The struggles we have and the pain that we have and the things we go through is really what people what people resonate toward and people can kind of connect with. And it is. I was talking to Jeff Perry tonight on the phone with pastors in St. Louis, and it's, man, ministry, it's like you gotta have rhino hide. And so you do, but then you've got to be, you've also got to have the tender mercies of God have to show. And man, I look at so many people here that have been here for years. I don't know that I could do this without George Jesquire. And many of you guys probably don't even know him, but been through all the training here. He's involved in every work day or every work night we've ever had in a church. George has been here, served in every area of the church. If you dusted heaven, the product of this church in heaven, you dusted it for prints, George's prints would be on those souls. And that's what matters. And I just want you to know that Romans 11:29, the gifts and the call of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. And don't forget it. Man, know that God's hand is on your life, and it's about purpose. It's about our purpose. When you figure out the purpose for your money, you'll have more than enough. When you figure out the purpose for your marriage, it'll be incredible. When you figure out the purpose for your children, they're going to serve God. See, it's not about us just browbeating our kids to serve God. It's when they realize their purpose. See, these men, let me tell you what they're doing. They're in now. They're in the progression of realizing the purpose that's on their lives. And that's what I'm believing God for everybody.